The following program is brought to you in living color.
Evening, ma'am. Can buy you a drink?
I don't think so.
You don't know what you're missing.
You sure you want to go without me? It's like your top of the line A-game material.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wow.
Whatever this is not going to work.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva. And you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the wine, all the time. Yes, we are doing the first show of the brand new year. We have finally welcomed 2010. We have 09 behind us. Everything is over and done with, and I know that all of us have to be just excited to have this brand new spaking year to see how we can ruin it. Yes, it's entirely possible.
I'm just glad you called it 2010.
What else would you call it?
Well, people have been saying 2010.
It's
2010 is what it is.
I'm just so happy I have a shortened version of a year. I was so sick of 09, 08, 2009. Yeah. I mean, every year needs a nickname of some sort, whether it was the aughts, whether it was anything. So 2010 will be fun.
I had a great big Facebook debate. Should we call it 2010 or 2010? And overwhelmingly, people said 2010.
Absolutely. At least all of us are on the same page. Even if it was yours. All right. Well, we're off and rolling to the first show of the new year, and I've got some help today. I think last show I may have worn you out, so today we have two great guests. We have Rob Fisher. He is the general manager and, of course, owner of Fisher Vineyards. We also have Ellen McCoy, wine and spirits columnist in the Bloomberg News. And they do a lot of interesting things on Bloomberg. They look at wines from different perspective and different trends, so I think it'll be really interesting to see what they think the hot topics of 2010 are going to be. Well, of course, for those of you who listened to the end of last year's show, you know that we covered what we thought were the greatest stories of the 09 decade, and of course, we talked about what we're anticipating for 2010. And I've gotten a lot of interesting feedback from everybody out there on things I may have left out, on further ideas, but I encourage you, go to winecrush.com. There's some interesting blogs going on there, interesting commentary, and feel free to put your two cents worth in. See, easy for me to say. Yes, you'll have to bear with me. Be happy you aren't in the studio, because apparently I celebrated the end of the new year a little bit much. So if we get a little froggy around here, I do apologize in advance.
Is it cold in there? Because you look like Nanook of the North.
Well, I have to hey, for those of you who've never had the pleasure of actually seeing the studio, I think they take great delight in tormenting me. The studio is bad enough that it's something like 11 degrees outside, but because of mechanical natures, they have to keep the studio cold, usually an average temperature around 35, 36 degrees. So I have finally given in to it. My hat, my little scarf, my earmuffs, minus one, and of course my big old parka, I now sit in the studio and this is how I record.
Well, you like chilled wine. You bring the bottle in and you're good to go.
Exactly. I don't even have to have a cooler for my Chardonnay. Y'all quit asking me cooler questions. I don't know what to do. All right, around here, we just pop and sip. All right. Well, speaking of wine, I do have two interesting wines for you today. Because we're in a new year, we want to look ahead to the new decade and try and salvage it any way we can. So because of that, we are thinking green around the studio today. And I can't think of a really much greener winery than Parducci. Parducci does a sustainable white. And what sustainable mean is there's no harm done to the environment. There's no pesticides added. There's no chemicals added. It is sustaining itself just on the nature of the vineyard. And it's actually a blend of Sauvignon Blanc, Muscat, Tokaj, and Viognier. So there are four different white grapes in this. Surprisingly enough, you will notice there is no Chardonnay in this blend. But grape flavors, very floral, has a lot of pineapple characteristics, has nice citrus flavors. When I say citrus flavors, think lemon, think lime. It's just very, very refreshing. So it's a great way to start off the new year, being sustainable, being green, and of course it's easy to drink, which helps. You can find this in most of your local mega marts for under $10 a bottle. Now, the red I have picked out, I have decided that this will be a good year to try and educate everybody. We're supposed to be a wine show. We're supposed to educate people occasionally. So in doing so, the red I picked out today is a grape called Carmenere. C-A-R-M-E-R-E. Now, a lot of people hear about the red wines of Bordeaux, and you always hear about Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Merlot, Malbec, Petit Verdot. There was actually a sixth member of this band way back in the 1800s, and it was called the Carmenere grape. So today it's called the Lost Grape Carmenere. Well, great story. I think we touched on this in the last show. Around the mid-1800s, because the French had brought over some American rootstock to try in their country, the phylloxera bug pretty much wiped out all of Bordeaux. So around 1867, that was pretty much the demise of Carmenere over in Bordeaux. Well, thankfully, we had some forward-thinking friends in our French froggy bunch, and they had taken some Carmenere grape and taken it to Chile. And in doing so, they actually preserved the grape. Right now, Chile is the largest producer of Carmenere. And for those of you who run around and still hold on to the concept of sideways, I won't drink Merlot, this is a very soft drinking wine. It has the great berry flavors. It has that great rich, luxury, fruity berryness, almost cinderbox kind of smell to it like you like out of Cabernet Sauvignons. But it doesn't exactly have all those tannins. So it's real easy drinking. This is one of my favorite wines with pork. It's one of my favorite wines with barbecue. And, of course, grilled steaks it's great with. But specifically, there's one I want to recommend today. And that's the Conciatoro Casaella del Diablo Carmenere. Casaella del Diablo. You're like, what is that? The whole winery is actually a fascinating story, and I'd love to get someone from the winery on the show. But it actually means cellar of the devil, which, of course, we can relate to very, very well in this studio. But it's Conciatoro Casaella del Diablo Carmenere. This is from Chile. Has a lot of black fruit on it. It's very plummy. Think about a cigar store or tobacco store when you walk into it, that great, rich cedar smell and flavor. But very soft, very approachable, and definitely something to look at. So there you go. For the first show of the new year, number one, I have stepped away from Chardonnay. But number two, I have given you some edumacation on a brand new grape varietal. See, we started on a good foot, and you've already learned something. Well, like I said, we've got an interesting show coming up today. We've got Robert Fisher coming up, and we're going to take a small break right now. But when we return, we will actually have someone educate us about the rest of what's going on in California.
We've got more Wine Crush coming up in a moment.
He took me to the Spotted Club at Hollywood and Vine. We drank champagne and we danced all night.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactive works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactive's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial, plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Well, the plane touched down just about 3 o'clock, and the city's still on my mind.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory. Well, right now we have a very interesting guest. We have Mr. Robert Fisher. He is presently serving as the general manager of Fisher Winery, but he is also has an interesting background on how he got into the wine business. I'm sure he's going to tell us all about it. Robert, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Laura, good. How are you doing?
I am doing outstanding. How are you this new year?
It's beautiful out here. We've got a sunny day. It's been cold, but things are looking good.
Well, we like to hear that, especially when it's 11 degrees and cloudy out on our way. We always are envious of you West Coasters, without a doubt.
That's right.
Well, Robert, obviously we want to tell our listeners a lot about Fisher Vineyards, but it's always interesting to read people's bio, and I think that this is great. You worked on Wall Street as a corporate financial advisor focused on mergers, acquisitions, and financial restructurings. As far as all the wacky people you met in New York, what are they comparing to all your new winemaker friends?
Well, you know, I think they were equally intense, but intense in a totally different way. You know, well, people are definitely relaxed out here, but at the level we're making wines, people are really focused on pushing hard and making the absolute best product they can. So, you know, it's that there actually are similarities. I mean, everybody out here works just as hard.
I'd rather deal with some of those Wall Street minions than some of your winemaker friends. Some of your winemaker people just seem much more cutthroat to me.
They can be. They can be.
Well, fair enough. Well, tell our listeners a little bit about Fisher. Besides the fact you were formed in 1973, what great things do you have for us?
Yeah, so, well, we really feel like we are sort of the essence of a family business. My two sisters and I grew up in the business. My parents had started it in 1973, and since the beginning, we've grown grapes in both Napa and Sonoma. We farm about 100 acres. Two-thirds of that's in Napa, and a third of it's in Sonoma. So we feel like we are a bit of an unusual winery in that we represent both valleys. I think a lot of times you see wineries focused on one side or the other, and so we've sort of had a foot in both worlds. And it's unique that one by one, my two sisters and I have come back to work with the business. Today, the five of us, including my two parents, all work together. My sister Whitney is our winemaker. I'm general manager. My younger sister works on sales and marketing with me as well. So we're now 37 years into it, and I joked when I came back from New York, I felt like we were a 30-plus year startup, but we're constantly, you know, pushing to look for new ways to improve our vineyards and advance the winemaking. So,
well, it's got to be difficult. I mean, on two fronts, two things stand out to me. One, being a bipartisan winery, being in Napa and Sonoma, that ought to get you embroiled in a number of politics. But then throw in working with your whole family. I can imagine what the dinner table must be like in that household.
That's right. Well, I'm sure plenty of people have seen the brothers and sisters.
That's exactly what I thought about. Exactly.
That may be a bit extreme, but we do. We have a good time, and we're all living in close proximity, so we see a lot of each other. It's, you know, for us around the winery, it is a matter of sort of separating business from family and opinion from fact, and trying to all stay focused on the same mission. So,
well, we'll look for your next wine, which will probably be Walker Landing, and then we'll really all have it tied together.
Or the Coastal Reserve that was spilled out on the winery floor.
Now, you realize you're admitting on national radio that you're a male that watches Brothers and Sisters, right?
I'm also admitting I was just recently married, so I don't have control of the remote anymore. the other comment about the bipartisanship, it's an interesting thing that while we are involved in both valleys, we're also we tend to be excluded from associations that are exclusively one valley or the other, and for that reason, I think we've sort of remained a well-kept secret on both sides. So
I think so. But ultimately, I look over your wines. I've known your wines basically since I've been in the business, and I've been a Unity fan. Obviously, y'all have focused on single vineyards that sometimes we don't see in our market. But I think the most interesting part of this, and I hope I don't put my foot in my mouth, is the wine you do called Coach Insignia.
That's right.
Now,
yeah.
For reasons of my own, I will always remember this brand and everything else. I've got to go ahead and put it out there. Fisher, y'all came from the people who built the bodies for Buick and...
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So I grew up when I was 70, 1971. I remember being a little girl and couldn't get into my parents' Buick Riviera. And every time I looked down, there was that insignia of a coach that said Body by Fisher. And to this day, you were the first wine I really knew.
You had to climb over the coach insignia that represented the Fisher Body Company. That was... We are I guess I would be about the fifth generation of family businesses for us. My great-great-grandfather had come over from Germany in the 1800s and built wooden coaches in Ohio. And by 1900, they heard about the horseless coach in Detroit, moved the business up there, and became the body division, supplying the body of all the cars for GM's divisions and ultimately the whole General Motors company. And that lasted until the late 20s when the family sold the business, but they kept a 60-year agreement to represent all the bodies produced by GM as Body by Fisher. And so when my father started the winery in the 70s, he really wanted to preserve this memory he had of his grandfather's appreciation for handcrafted, at the time, artisan coaches. And so he took the name Coach Insignia, which had been around from the early 1900s, and used that on our flagship wine, which is Coach Insignia Napa Valley Cabernet. And since the first vintage was 1984 of that label, that's been our flagship. It's always a Cabernet, estate grown on our property in Calistoga. So
now, see, I think about all the winemakers we've had on the show, and I'm not trying to disparage any of them, but you have one of the coolest background stories for a winery of anyone we talk to, and yet we never get to hear something about that. We are definitely going to have to remedy this. You have to come to North Carolina and be a guest host. We're going to drag you in the studio.
I would love to. I did spend a little time in North Carolina in school, and it is almost a second home for me.
Well, good. We'll hold you up to that. Well, tell us something. I know we're getting ready to wrap up this segment real quick, but you do so many different single vineyard wines. Do you have one that's your passion? There's a one that you absolutely stands head and shoulders above the rest?
Well, you know, I would have to say my namesake, my old namesake, RCF Vineyard, was a Merlot we produced from the last clippings of the Three Palms Merlot Vineyard, and they were planted on our Calistoga property in the 80s, but over time the vineyard got old, and my sisters give me a hard time. They say I was losing my character and expensive to maintain, so we've replanted the vineyard, but the last vintage of that RCF Vineyard was 2002, and so I'm working hard to make a comeback in the next decade. We've got the vineyard replanted and are working on some new vintages soon. So,
well, that's a hell of a night to be put out to pasture at such a young age. Yeah, I was wondering that. I saw RCF. I knew that was yours, and you'd mentioned your sister Whitney, and I know she has her own vineyard.
That's right. What about
the other sister? She doesn't get a say-so?
Well, it's Cameron, the Cameron red wine blend we have. And so she's got a name out there. And then the wedding vineyard I should also reference. My parents got married in the first vineyard they planted, they were married there in 75. And when Paul Hobbs was making wine with us in the 90s, he recognized how unique that site was, and we created the wedding vineyard designate. And my sister Whitney was married in the vineyard in 2007, and I just was married there last year. So Cameron's the last one to go, and it's a special place for the family for that reason, but the wine is incredibly unique. It's a high-altitude Cabernet grown with a lot of complexity to it. It's a very nuanced wine and really special to us.
Well, how could it not be with such a great pedigree and a great history to have a wedding vineyard? Hell, if it were my property, I'd have to have a divorce vineyard and go from there.
I'm sure there's one out there.
Yeah, I have great faith. I know some of your compatriots that would probably agree with me. Well, Rob, it has been great having you on the show. It's always fun to find undiscovered little stories and undiscovered little truths that our listeners don't ever get to hear. And I'm very serious. Would love to have you come back on the show. I know you have some new releases coming out pretty soon, and we'll have to do some tasting and let everyone know what we think.
Laura, well, I really appreciate being on the show. And anyone looking for more information can find it on our website at fishervineyards.com. We keep a small mailing list, and if people want to hear about events we're doing in North Carolina, they can sign on there, and we'll be in touch.
Absolutely. And, of course, to our listeners, for those of you around the rest of the country, we will have it on our website. Well, Rob, thank you very much, and we will take a small break right here, but more exciting Wine Crush when we return.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch, increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts? American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a million-year-old beach? between drinking clean water or breathing clean air. Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. We were just speaking with Robert Fisher of Fisher Vineyards, and I have to reiterate how great it is that we can find some of those erst-known stories to get out on the airwaves and let you know about great, great wineries that are out there. We didn't get a chance to discuss it, but they do a wine called Unity that is absolutely outstanding and hits the right price point. So for those of you out shopping for a good red, definitely Unity hits at home. Well, of course, last week we did the great stories of the past decade, but also I made my predictions on things that we would see in the upcoming decade. Little did I know how quickly some of my predictions would come through. One of the things I had talked about being a portent of the next decade was the fact that we are going to see some more strict labeling laws and different labels in the United States and around the globe, and that's actually something that's coming to a head right now. There is a big spirits company named Diageo. They own spirits, they own wine, they own a lot of alcohol-based products. And what they are doing is they are really pushing forward the idea of a standard drink definition. They are looking to say, hey, just because these say a drink of wine, a drink of beer, and a drink of spirits are equally as potent if they're poured correctly. What Diageo is saying is that there is no standard definition for a set drink. So if you look at it, a standard drink definition is supposed to be a 12-ounce serving of beer, a 5-ounce glass of wine, and a 1.5-ounce of 80-proof distilled spirits. Now, I want you to think about this if you think about standard serving, and this goes hand in hand with those of you that I spoke to who said about how bad they felt New Year's Day and how they only drank wine. Simple fact is, most restaurants are pouring you 8 ounces of wine. So if you go by the standard drink serving, by the time you've had 2 glasses of wine in a restaurant, you've actually had 3. And it continues so on and so on. You should be able to get 5 glasses of wine out of a bottle of wine. I don't know, around my house, I'm lucky to get 3. So it'll be interesting to see how this labeling law gets approved and to see what becomes the standard size of drinks when it comes to a glasses of wine. How is it going to be measured? How is it going to be looked at? But I promise you, 5 ounces, my straws hold more than 5 ounces. That's definitely not going to be the standard. So keep that in mind. We will certainly keep our eye on it since it was part of my prediction for the upcoming decade. Well, of course, this show is supposed to be all about you, and I do have some emails from people asking questions, both holiday-related and non-holiday-related. But as we start the new year, of course, now I need to hear from everybody. You've had several years to build up your courage, so please call us, 877-4-CRUSH-1. Drop your question on the wine line, or, of course, email me, and now you can email me directly at lauralawson@winecrush.com. Well, that is exactly what Brian from Mills, Pennsylvania did. Brian writes, I opened a bottle of champagne on New Year's Eve, but the cork did not pop and the cork never expanded. The wine tasted fine. What happened and why is this? Well, Brian, I assume when you're writing this, when you say the cork never expanded, it never got its little bottom skirt on it, that it was just straight up and down. My guess is, you don't say it, this was an older bottle of champagne or one that you had let sit on the counter for a while. Ultimately, you have to keep champagne, wine, whatever. That's why we always tell you to lay things on its side. If you lay a bottle of wine on its side, liquid is always in contact with the cork, and you have to have a little liquid in contact with the cork to keep it from drying out. Now, it's interesting that you say there was absolutely nothing wrong with the wine, because obviously, if the cork hasn't expanded, if the cork's not doing the job it's supposed to and there was no fizz enough to pop it, chances are the wine was not good. Now, the question then becomes, were you good enough to tell if it was good or not? But then again, that's a story for another show. But ultimately, whether you say it tasted fine, that's all that matters. If you drank it, you enjoy it. Even if it was corked, even if it was tired, even if it didn't have all the little bubbles it should have had in it, it won't hurt you. So as long as you drank and had fun, but chances are that cork was what we call dead, D-E-D, dead. And that does happen from time to time. I have seen incidences where it will not affect the taste of the wine, but 90% of the time, damage is done. So, Brian, keep that in mind. And if you have bought any more champagne like that, I suggest you drink it quickly. If you have any more bottles in your house, turn them on their side. Do not store them upright on your refrigerator anymore. Bad Brian. All right, moving on. We do have another email. This is from Emily in Kittybunkport. I assume Kittybunkport would be Maine. Emily writes, I am hosting a dinner and we have 2 vegans joining us. Is it okay to serve wine? And if so, which ones? Well, that's an interesting question. I don't know how you cook a vegan. I've really never had the opportunity to try and put one on a grill or whether you put it in the oven.
Stop.
From one carnivore to the other.
Everybody knows what a vegan is. A vegan is somebody from Las Vegas.
Of course. Okay. How could I miss that? All right. Now that we have actually upset someone beside the French for a change, expect that wine line. For those of you that want to call and complain, call Kent, 877-4-CRUSH-1. Actually, Emmy, it's very, very hard to figure out what wine to serve, because even though wine is made from grapes, it does have animal byproducts. I guess they aren't even byproducts. Animal products used in its creation. And most of that is going to occur at the filtering level. You find wines that are filtered, and generally there's a lot of wineries that use filtration methods using bentonite. It's a clay. But believe it or not, there are some milk solids and egg whites that are used. And if I remember correctly, vegans can't have anything to do with, once had something to do with an animal. So that, of course, would rule out them drinking the wine. So probably one of the best things you can do, yes, you can look on the back labels, but we're barely getting good enough in the United States to say whether something is actually vineyard selected or reserved. I would look for a wine that's unfiltered. If you can find a wine that's unfiltered, the likelihood of it having encountered any kind of egg whites or milk solids or anything that would upset the vegan population would be slim to none. I would also look for wild yeast. So here's your dream. Look for wild yeast and look for unfiltered. One comes to mind. Jarvis comes to mind. There's some Foley products that come to mind. And this way you can make sure that all your vegans are happy. And, of course, let us know where the dinner is so we can bring out our leather boots and our fur coats and come and say hello. All right. Well, now that I have pissed off a whole other segment of the population, I think I'll take a break and count my blessings. So more on The Crush when we return.
Laura Lawson's got more Wine Crush in just a moment.
She had kisses sweeter than wine. Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
Available at Walmart.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
Available at Walmart.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you'll realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva. And right now, we have another great guest. Now, this will be something unique. Ellen McCoy, she has written in just about everything known to mankind. Currently, she writes for the Bloomberg News and the Bloomberg Newswire. But before that, House Beautiful, Las Vegas Life, Shattered, and Drink. She has definitely put her written word on everything you can around the world. So at this point, Ellen, welcome to the Wine Crush radio show.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Ellen, this is a joy. Anytime I get someone who is patient enough to sit down and actually write something instead of running their mouth, it is a joy.
Well, I think that the hardest is when you actually spend the time to write a book, which, and my last book on Robert Parker, The Emperor of Wine, took me 3 years. So I was sitting for quite a lot of that time.
I can definitely understand that. But see, the good news about writing is all of a sudden you don't have to look at your words hanging in the air and think, did I really just say that out loud? That's the good thing about having an edit button. Well, it's a delight to have you on The Crush. God knows that you have definitely looked at so many wine from so many different ways. You would be a good person. We were talking in an earlier segment about predictions for 2010 and what we look ahead for in the next decade. So with your vast experience in the world of wine, what do you see fun ahead? What do you see coming in the next decade?
I see a a lot of really, really interesting trends. And one of them is affordability. That has become, during this past year, during 2009, the sort of watchword in the wine industry. Wines from $50 and up are, I think, going to continue to have a really, really difficult time succeeding in the marketplace unless they're so unbelievably special that there's a tiny group of people who will buy them. But what this means is that all those people that are making $50 wines and up, the only way that they, especially the Americans, that they can figure out a way to not sort of lower their brand, if you will, is to take siphon off some of that wine and create a lower-priced label. So I think what people should be looking for in 2010 is well-known wine names, winery names, who suddenly start a line or a few wines in their portfolio that sell for a great deal less, but have a different line within that same brand.
So you're talking about we're going to see more second labels like Hawk's Crest from Stag's Leap,
yeah,
like Tunnel of Elms from Behringer.
Yeah, I think so. And even for example, I've just recently been in Chile right before the holidays, and one wine really stood out at me that's going to be available in the next month or so, and that's in a single vineyard series that arouses. That's such a hard name to say, so I'm going to spell it for people. It's E-R-R-A-Z-U-R-I-Z, Arazuriz. And they have a single vineyard designation, which just really started last year. And their 2007 Cabernet, single vineyard Cabernet, is going to be coming out, as I say, in the next month or so for $21. It's pretty hard to find a Cabernet for $21 that offers the sort of smooth, chocolatey flavors that this one does, certainly not from California, in my opinion.
Well, I think what we're seeing now out of California is exactly what you said. Talk about affordability, $50 and up. A lot of these Cabernets have dropped their prices. How are people going to justify spending $21 for a Chilean Cabernet?
How are they going to justify that?
Yes, ma'am.
As opposed to spending, what, $10 for a wine from California?
I think people tend to get comfortable when they talk about Chile, looking at whether it's Carmenere, looking at Merlot, spending, say, $15 and under. Do you think that will impact how people are looking at things because they have perceived value of Chile being less expensive?
Yes and no. I think that Chile is still offers, I think, for example, the one I just described is worth double the price.
Right.
Let me put it that way. I think that the whole mid-range of wines that I would say are from $12 to $25, that is where the best value in the wine market is today.
Oh, I would say under 30, absolutely, without a doubt.
Yes. But not under $12. I have found very, very few wines that I have tasted under $12 that I would really, really want to drink. Maybe a few rosés. But let me get on to a few. I agree with you that there is an issue of what people are willing to spend on from regions and countries that they consider really mostly $15 and under wines. That's one of the things that happened to Australia. And certainly it's happening to New Zealand. So will people pay $21 for a Cabernet like this? I hope so, because it offers them really twice as much value as the price. But that may be an issue. I think that the same issue is going to come up with something like Bordeaux. But there is going to be, and already is, massive Bordeaux dumping. And this is for a variety of different and interesting reasons. But what it means is that wines from the great 2005 vintage at the lower end in the $20, $15 to $25 range, there are huge numbers of really, really, really good wines. I think that there's another trend that we're seeing is that the natural wine movement, however you want to define that, is really going to grow even more. People are tired of hearing about adulterated wines, and so they're going to be looking not necessarily for things that are labeled organic and biodynamic, but for things that don't taste so manipulated, so concocted, so high in alcohol. I think there's been a movement away from those things, from the idea of high alcohol wines, and I see that getting more stronger, getting stronger in the year ahead.
I certainly hope so. We are definitely looking for wines to stand on. We talked about that last show about family winemakers making sure that their ground and their brand spoke for themselves. Well, Ellen, thank you very much for being part of the Wine Crush and sharing some of your upcoming ideas for 2010. I encourage all of our listeners, check out Ellen and, of course, her book, The Emperor of Wine, The Rise of Robert M. Parker and the Reign of American Taste.
Well, thanks so much. I really appreciate being on.
All right.
Fun. Thanks.
Ellen, have a great day.
Bye.
All right. When we come back, we're going to be wrapping up this segment, putting everything together, and, of course, toasting the first show of the new year.
A clever man would put the poison into his own goblet, because he would know that only a great fool would reach for what he was given. I'm not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you must have known I was not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Wait till I get going. Let's drink. Me from my class, and you from yours.
The Wine Crush.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactive works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactive's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood, concrete, brick walls, trees, small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-yah time!
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. For our first show of the new year, we've definitely had some interesting personalities. It was great talking with Rob Fisher and hearing the stories that he has to offer about his family, the car-making business, and most importantly, his wine. And of course, it was great to talk to Ellen and get her ideas on what we're going to see for 2010. But I'm going to do something a little bit different in the closing segment than I usually do. I'm actually going to answer an email because it's going to lead off to our final thoughts of today. From Carol in St. Helena. Carol writes, "My grocery store has carts with sale wine in them. Is there anything wrong with these wines? I think this is the best time, and this is going to tee off to how we end the show. Ultimately, right now, for those of you who have gotten over your shock at what you spent at Christmas, you've gotten over the holiday spending, and if you're anything like me, your wine cabinets are absolutely bare. I mean, a mouse couldn't find a crumb or a cork in my house. Now is quite possibly the best time for you to go to your local grocery stores and stock up on wine." So, Carol, is there anything wrong with all those bottles of wine stuck in shopping carts in the back of the room? Absolutely not. People just have to clear their shelves. A lot of your mega marts, a lot of your grocery stores bought in extra product for the holiday season. Well, they can't afford to carry that over month in and month out. So right now, they're all discontinuing lines. They're discontinuing brands. There's a lot of wineries that are helping because they're behind on vintage. I encourage all of you, walk to the back of the store, walk over by the floral section, and look for these shopping bins full of wine. There's absolutely nothing wrong with them, and it's a great time of year and a great way to make a value by stocking your wine cellar. It doesn't matter if they're discounted or not. The fact is the wines are good, and as we all know, a glass a day certainly makes us all happier. So definitely take a break, go back, take a look at it. It's worth the money you'll spend to get you through to Valentine's Day. Carol, I hope that answers your question. Although in St. Helena, I'd be really interested to see what those little buggies look like and what's in them. But that's neither here nor there. But of course, that is my message out to you. Definitely enjoy what's the beginning of this great new year. But if you have an advantage and you have a chance like that, please go buy wine. The rest of us will thank you. All right. Well, this has been the first year edition of The Wine Crush. And as always, we are reminding you to sip socially, drink responsibly, drink what you like, not what you're told. But most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth.